Now, by the end of the service, I mean, you just took hands and greeted some of your fellowship of believers, members of the church. By the end of the service, I hope that you look at each other differently than you do right now. Okay? All right. Over the last few weeks, we've learned some very interesting things about ourselves as a Christian. First, we're supposed to have a very strong effort to stay connected with Jesus. You remember what John called that? He called it abiding. John chapter 15, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is that fierce determination to hold on to Him. Remember, when He saves us, we're in His hand. He holds on to us. But as our effectiveness as Christians, we got to hold on to Him. That's why Jesus said, if you abide, means there's a suggestion of something we have to do. We have to abide in Him. And as Christians, if we want to be fruitful, we must abide and stay connected to Jesus. If you don't, as Jesus said, you'll have no fruit. That's just plain and simple. So we've got to abide in Jesus. Secondly, we learn that Jesus was the most important key to reaching, Jesus said the most important key to reaching our community is loving each other in unity in the believers. Remember, we read that in John chapter 17. As Jesus prayed for Himself, He prayed for His disciples, then He pray for us, those who will believe in Him through their testimony. And He said, Father, I pray that they will be one so the world will know that You sent me. So the world's knowing that Jesus is real is contingent upon church believers being together. Jesus just said that. It'll change your focus on evangelism. When the world sees a church who honestly loves each other the way Jesus loved us, they're going to be wondering, what's going on with that lot over there? Quite frankly, in this world today, there's not a lot of love around. So if they see real love taking place, they're going to be going, yeah, I want some of that. Then we lead them to Jesus. So first, we've got to abide in Jesus. Secondly, we've got to love each other. How do we love each other to that extent? How do we love each other in such a way that there is a supernatural something takes place as we love each other that people will start getting saved? Well, it's definitely not just going around saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Words can be very cheap. They can be manufactured. They can be spoken and not meant. So it's not a word, I love you. So what is it? What can we do? Well, hopefully, today, we'll learn just what we can do. Because we really do want to see our community come to Jesus, don't you think? Think you're with me. Do we want to see our community come to the Lord?
Yes.
All right. Well, we got to love each other. That's one of the keys. But how do we do that? Today, like I said, we're going to look at how to love each other. And I want to look at another biblical name for the word church. Can somebody give me a biblical name that's synonymous for church in the New Testament? Body of Christ, exactly. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at the body of Christ and how uniquely it has been put together. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. Teach us something from Your word today that it will change our lives so we can look at each other differently through supernatural light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I go any further, I would like to invite Noel to come up. Noel is, he knows a lot about cars and motors and things like that.
Now the people here, not much.
So I've got some questions here. What are some things that, well, first of all, how many likes a well-tuned, fine, well-running motor in your car in you? How many gets a little cranky when it's not running, right? Okay. No. What are some things that may cause a fine-tuned motor to not run well? Well, let's break it down to the most common denominator. Whenever you, a lot of those things are out there for me, but I know what spark plugs and fuel injectors are. So you're saying that if one spark plug failed in the motor, it could go from running smoothly to what would it start to do then? Okay. All right. That's what I was needing to ask you. So in a four-cylinder, whenever one spark plug is not working, does the motor lose its strength? It's doing the hokey pokey, right? Okay, and so it loses its efficiency and all those kind of stuff. If one spark plug. Thank you. That's what I wanted you to say. Thank you. You can go say that. Give him a hand. Well, what does an internal combustion motor have to do with the body of Christ? You're on the right track. Well, let's hear. See, an internal combustion motor is designed to work. It's designed to work when everything is working together. In one case of spark plug or fuel injector, it's not working. The whole thing falls apart. The whole thing falls apart. One spark plug is not working. The body of Christ is fine-tuned, well-designed machine. It's called an organism. For the sake of description, it's a well-tuned machine. And if one spark, one part of the body, is not working perfectly, it loses its strength, it loses its efficiency. How many is a Christian here today? That means for sure you're going to heaven. You're a blood-bought, born-again person going to heaven. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There's something unique about you, and we're going to look at what that is unique in 1 Corinthians, okay? This applies to every single born-again person, whether they are 11 years old, 10 years old, 9 years old, or 99 years old. It's the same thing. It doesn't change. Because when we're saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
And when the Spirit of the Lord is living inside of you, it should be different. It should be different. But there's some interesting things that happens to us when the Spirit of the Lord moves in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, so we can understand this, I'm going to be reading this from the New Living Translation. That way we don't need to translate words and things like that. So if you've got an iPad or phone or something like that, just switch it over to the New Living Translation. I've checked it against the other text, so we're good. Paul speaking, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. King James calls it, I don't want you to be ignorant. That would be offensive to some people, but I don't know if you get the point. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking in the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. So spiritual gifts was obviously in the mind of the people there at Corinth. There was a big discussion. There were some questions that made Paul about spiritual gifts. So we're going to talk about spiritual gifts today and next week. Oh, but there was something he wanted to nail down. I don't know why he said this, but he said it. No one led by the Spirit of God will ever curse Jesus. If you're a Christian today, you need to understand and know that. No one ever led by the Spirit of God will ever curse Jesus. And to show you the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives, nobody's going to ever say that Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit empowers us. So that says that the Holy Spirit is working in our life every single day. Would you agree? Matter of fact, let me say this. Everything that God does in the life of the believer in our day is accomplished through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're worshiping the Father, we're thanking Jesus for dying on the cross, but it's the Holy Spirit that is working through the church. The church started in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell. And the church will end one of these days when the Holy Spirit's taken out after Jesus returns. So the empowering part of the church is the Holy Spirit. You might say, Pastor Tony, you're sounding Pentecostal. You ain't heard nothing yet. Let's continue. Verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Simply stated, there are many different gifts or tools for us to use in the body of Christ, and they are all given and empowered by God Himself. If you have a spiritual gift, and according to the Scripture, if you're saved, you have a spiritual gift, you have an empowering force inside of you to accomplish your task. You might say, well, I don't have any gift. The Bible will disagree with you. Doesn't matter whether I disagree with you or not. If you say I don't have a gift, you don't agree with Scripture. So, we'll get to that in just a second. Oh, secondly, since God is working in so many different ways in so many different people's lives, there is no such thing as a cookie-cutter Christian. You ever been in a church where everybody wanted to mold everybody into the same mold? I'm going to say this, I'll probably get in trouble. I've been in churches where everybody had to have a suit coat and tie and dress the same as the preacher did and all this kind of stuff, and they were all little puppets of the preacher running around. You know, please don't do that. You can't wear size 16 shoes anyway. But folks, there is no such thing as cookie-cutter Christians. Therefore, we all don't have to. Matter of fact, it's guaranteed if the Holy Spirit of God is working in your life, you're not going to be doing the same thing somebody else is. You're going to be different. All right? So forget this stuff. We're all going to be the same, all right? The only thing that we're the same, we're part of the same family through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm trying to get one of those signs. Say Jesus. Or say amen. But we're going to do things differently. We're going to do things differently. You know what that's called? Diversity in unity. Diversity in the things we do in unity in the Spirit that empowers us. Now let me show you a key verse, verse number 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Who has spiritual gifts? Say it with me, 1, 2, 3. Each of us. And what's the purpose? Profit of all, King James says. This says so we can help each other. Are we, all of us, helping each other? Are we all serving each other? If not, we got some spark plugs misfiring. Continue. Secondly, some people focus on their gift and try to elevate their gift as more important than the rest, or perhaps they're more gifted. Have you ever seen that happen? I'm going to say this. Hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot. There's a lot of people come to the church with a consumer mentality. A lot of you are going to know where I got this. With a consumer mentality, you come and your whole desire is to let the people up front feed you. That's wrong. That's wrong. Yes, those people that are in front are the people that are gifted with the public speaking gift, so that's their role. But you see, every member of the church has a gift to feed and minister to each other. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. Let me go back to this scripture. I'm almost excited about this. So keep that in mind. Everyone helping each other with the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Everyone helping each other. That sounds like a perfect design to me, doesn't it, you? Are you sure? All right. Let's look at something else. Again, some people try to elevate themselves higher than the rest. Paul addressed that in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Give you a chance to turn there. There's some people that really, really do try to be superhero Christians. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to you, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned you." We are not to elevate ourselves. We're supposed to think according to the measure of faith that God has given us. And remember, God's given every single Christian a spiritual gift, and they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill that gift. What that means is a lot of you all have gifts here. I don't have a clue. There is no way I can do what you're doing. There's no way that I can do what you're empowered to do. Absolutely zero chance for me to do that. So it means all of us need to be together, pulling together to make it work. You see how that might be changing your view of your Christian brothers and sisters? I want you to do something. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You are gifted." Oh, and if it's husbands and wives, don't say, "I'm your gift." Okay? See, within the body of Christ, there is no big eyes and little U's. It's just all us. A lot of times somebody will call me a reverend. I said, "Stop. I'm Tony." There's only one reverend. He's in heaven and the rest of us are serving him. Yeah. Who's about to lose me? Oh, so in summary, every gift or talent or ability that God gives His children is for each of us to serve each other in the body of Christ with humility, right? Do you see how that's coming back around to loving each other for service? It's so easy to say, oh, I'm here. But the real deal is when you serve that person with humility. There's where the real love takes place. It's through service. Why should I serve my brothers and sisters? Because Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And Paul says, this mind being you, which is also in Christ, He humbled Himself. So we are supposed to be conformed to His image. And if we're conformed to His image, we're going to be servants like He is a servant. It's a fallacy for a Christian to be sitting in the church and not serving. Still love me? Thinking about it. Let's go back to the scripture. Now, what gifts and talents are we talking about? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Again, we're reading from the New Living Translation. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. I can tell you, take you to a couple of those people here today. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. There's some pretty smart people here, too. The same Spirit gives greater faith to another and to someone else. The one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Okay. Verse 10. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Like I said, some people are saying, this sounds like what the Pentecostals do. Can I reword that just a little bit? This is what Christians do. Amen. The Pentecostals just stole it from us. This is scripture, right, Ken? It's the infallible Word of God. Next week, we're going to look at each of these gifts. We can get through it all next week. That's why I encourage you, I sent you an email out this week. I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 all the way through. And then you read Romans chapter 12. I think it's what, verse 8 or 9 verses, something like that. And the reason I want you to go to Romans chapter 12 is because there's another list of gifts there. So let's go to Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Let me stop. That just is powerful. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. What? Well, you're going to do good when you connect with your spiritual gift. Matter of fact, you'll be uniquely gifted by God to do certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. Not everybody has the gift of leadership. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There's the two lists, Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. So, one thing, everybody has a gift. Let me just stop again. I've already said this, I'm going to say it again. I have had so many people who say, I don't have any spiritual gift, then you're not saved. Can I be blind? If you don't have a spiritual gift, you're not born again, because the Bible clearly teaches that every born again person has a spiritual gift that's been given to them, and it's God Himself who chooses who has what gift. It's not something you try to seek after. And He addresses these things a little further. Let's just continue reading. Again, a lot of people want to pick and choose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Let's read. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We are all of the share of the same Spirit. Yet the body has many different parts, not just one part. So we're all gifted in one part or another. Now, if you don't like your gift and you want to be something else, let's continue reading. Verse 15. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, does that not matter? Make it any less part of the body? And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an ear, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how could you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Can you imagine a nose on a set of legs? Just because somebody doesn't appreciate the gift that God's given you doesn't mean that you can walk away. Because if you walk away, the body of Christ is going to be misfired. We don't want that to. Here's an important concept, verse number 18. That our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Folks, don't forget that. That's His business, not ours. He'll put it where He wants it. You see, when God designs something, my guess He's pretty happy with His design. I mean, being perfect and all knowing, He's not going to make something in error, is He? So if He's given you a spiritual gift to fulfill within the body of Christ, He's happy with that. We need to be happy with it as well. Well, I don't want to do that. Tell God. See what He said. Now, Paul changes directions. And he speaks to those who may not, who may know their gifts, and they try to tell other people that they're not needed. Oh, we see that in the church all the time, don't we? Not here. We have a lot of people say, listen, I'm going to fulfill my role in the church, and you really just kind of sit on the back pew over there. It'll be all right. You just sit back there and give your money, say hallelujah one of these times, and I'll just handle all this up here, okay? That is so wrong. That's so wrong. But for those who try to put other people down, verses 20 through 22, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most important. Wow, did you just hear that? Let's read it again. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So how do we strengthen and protect those whose gift maybe are not so obvious? Paul tells us, verses 23 to 26, and the parts we regard as less honorable or quietest are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the most honorable parts do not require that special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are honored. Let me give you just a simple to understand illustration. A lot of people think they have a good mouth. I don't use it a lot, but the preachers do too. All right. But you know, we think we're really, really gifted with our mouth. Some people think they're really, really gifted with their brain. But those things that are obvious. But what if you're gifted as being the liver? You can't see the liver, can you? But what happens if it quits work? The body dies. So this gifting, this part of the body that is you can't see, and it asks for no recognition, don't you think it needs to be protected more than the rest? Because if it quits working, the whole body shuts down. Folks, that's the way it's in the church. We look after the people who are out there more notable, people up front, people who are the leaders, people who are doing this, that, and the other. But actually, they can look after themselves. The most important person to protect is that person who's quiet and sitting in the background, who's wondering, can I really do something? Yes, you can. Him, what's the result of you not seeing him? Isn't this a perfect design? Are you looking at your Christian brothers a little bit differently? And sisters, sorry. Now Paul makes a concluding statement. Get with me to verse 27. All you together are Christ's body. And each of you is part of it. Look at a Christian sitting around you. They're a part of the same body too. If we want the body to be working together, I want my body to be working together. It's kind of uncoordinated sometimes. But you see, God designed the church, and you, being this local assembly of believers, you're part of this body of Christ, and we're all supposed to be working together to encourage and help each other. All the way from the speaking gifts to those who is not so obvious, we're here to work together, serve each other, to be a perfect organism. Let me ask you. Are you fulfilling your spiritual gift? You might say, well, I may have a spiritual gift, but I don't know what it is. Be here next week and we'll talk about each other. Folks, this is highly important. We can talk about spiritual gifts and people run to extreme corners and want to chase after one gift above the rest of them. Folks, that is so wrong. Some people teach that there's only everybody has to have one particular gift. You know who I'm talking about. That is wrong. That's false doctrine. According to what we just read. Not me. That's what Paul said. And it's not the person out front or the person who is leading or the person that's the loudest or the richest or anything like that is supposed to have the greatest protection. It's the one that's the quietest. It's the one that's hardest to recognize that needs the far greater protection to where the whole body can be working unified. Once we start doing this like God wants us to do, then we can start loving as Jesus loved, and we'll see the world, our community, turn upside down for Jesus. Thank you, Jim. Hallelujah. Folks, let's start doing that. Again, next week, we should read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bob, you're the person for detail. So I'm expecting you to read that and give me your insights, okay? I don't know what I'm asking for. Then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Read those and ask God, which one am I? Some of you, it's going to be obvious. Most of you can tell me your spiritual gift now, but not everybody. But there's one thing for sure, based on the authority of the Word of God, you, if you're saved, you have a Holy Spirit empowered spiritual gift. Father, I know this has been kind of technical today, and it's something that's been a lot of misinformation about. But I hope it's become clear today that all of us are part of the body. All of us have a gift that you gave us. All of us have a gift that you have empowered. And since you gave us the gift and you empowered the gift, you expect us to use the gift to encourage the rest of the body. Help us as a church to focus on that. And Father, it really doesn't matter whether a person is 65 or 95 or 7 or 8 or 6 or whatever. If they're born again, they have a gift they can use. Every single one of them. To give us the wisdom to engage those gifts in all ages. So we can adequately love each other as you love us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.